in case you're wondering if a glitter bomb blew up in the church, no. We had a wedding. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. In preparation for his departure, he speaks of another that the Father is going to send in order to be a paraclete for the church. This word paraclete is not parakeet, paraclete in Greek. It means an advocate, one who stands beside you, especially in a court of law. Just as we have an accuser who often accuses us of many things, we also have an advocate who stands with us. We are not alone. But the word paraclete can also be understood as consoler. What are the disciples being consoled about? They are being consoled first and foremost about the absence of Jesus. This is not some random person that moved into their neighborhood a year ago and now is like getting ready to take off. This is their Lord and their Savior. This is the one in whom they have walked through passion tied with, saw him crucified, his dead body, and then experienced his resurrection. He is Lord and Savior, and he is going away. And in the absence that he leaves, Jesus declares that the Father is going to send one to console them in their loss. You might ask the question, who the heck is this that is coming? If he has the ability to console such an absence of Jesus. Well, we see a hint of who that person is in the first reading. Samaria converts. They come to faith in Jesus Christ at the preaching of one of those deacons who was supposed to stick around and distribute food to the widows. There was a persecution. They got dispersed throughout the whole area, and the deacon goes out filled with the Holy Spirit and begins to evangelize. He evangelizes. They come to faith in Jesus Christ. They are baptized. But something is missing for them. And so they send for the apostles to come. And so Peter and John come. And they lay hands so that the people of Samaria might receive an institution. Right? A school. A hospital. A university. A Catholic Charities. Right? No, they laid hands upon them so that they would receive the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of God's love, the anointing of the Father, which makes the Christian a Christian, an anointed one. It's not an anointing with oil, it is an anointing with the Holy Spirit and with power. The church grows in Samaria in its full stature, because the Holy Spirit has been poured upon her. The institution of the church, my brothers and sisters, its concrete activities, the things that it does, they are good. But they find their inspiration first and foremost in the Holy Spirit. How many times in charity does it take the Christian community to teach those who are uneducated to bring a thing before they say, we need to make a school. We need to make this concrete. Literally, concrete. I didn't plan that pun, it just happened. My brothers and sisters, there in the Church of Samaria, did they show up with architecture drawings and say, okay, if you want to be a church, you've got to build this building. Only then will you be church. No, my brothers and sisters, the living stones, the people of God, who the Holy Spirit anoints with power and love and reconciliation and mercy and compassion and gifts to be poured out in the church, to be active in the church. This is what makes church. A building is a concrete expression of the living body of Christ. The fact that there is a church building here points to the fact that people who are part of the body of Christ came and moved into this area. They didn't move here and go, "Oh, look, there's a church. Let's go occupy it." They came as church, and this building was an expression of them. You look at all of the windows, right? The base of the windows, donated by Mrs. V. Stolman. Stolman. We have any Stolmans in the parish now? No. Look at the other names. See what it says. These are all different people that came generations ago. The living body of Christ. And this church building was an expression of their presence here in Rosedale. Sometimes we look at the institution, the structure, and we imagine that that's church. We look at the hospitals, we look at the universities, we look at all of the charitable organizations, all of the endeavors, we look at all of the religious communities that it formed. And we say, well, that's church. No, my brothers and sisters, not according to the scripture. What is church is the living body of Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit. All of those religious communities, all of those hospitals, all of those institutions of charitable works, all of those institutions of higher education, it all is an expression of the inspiration, the original inspiration of the Holy Spirit alive in the living body of the church. I'm not speaking disparately on the institution, but it is created to serve the church. In my experience of living in the world and the current generation of things, we see that institutions can at times have their own life separate from the original inspiration that inspired them, where they're no longer serving, but being served. They lose sight of what they are about and why they were created. It's why after Vatican II, the church hierarchy, the structure, said to all religious communities, you need to look at your original founding documents. And you need to ask yourself very clearly, are we doing what the church originally approved us to do? Or have we gone so far away from our original founding that we are unrecognizable, even to the original documents to which the church in its discernment said, this is good. Do this. This is an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Make this real. Make this concrete in our midst. The church needs this to be formed. The problem is, after centuries and centuries and centuries of living it out, the original inspiration can be lost. And if the church in its wisdom asked all of its organizations and entities and structures to do this, we too, in a parish setting, must look at the original inspiration. We are to be a community of believers in Jesus Christ. This is not a social club. This is not a place where you can slap a name Catholic at the end of your name and say, I belong. If you want to get me frustrated, come and say to me, well, I'm a parishioner here, Father. Oh, really? Yeah, I was baptized here. Okay, how long have I been here in the parish? A year or two? 6 years. 6 years I've been in the parish here. And yet you're a parishioner? Seriously? How do you define parishioner? The original charisms of my brothers and sisters of the church that is living together in unity and striving for holiness together. This is what we are as church. We can lose our way. We can lose the sight, and the institution can be more important than the original inspiration. This is important for us to understand and to say why. Because the Holy Spirit has never left the church. It is hard to see the presence of the Holy Spirit at times in the church. Why? Because all of the original inspirations have become structures. And I don't need to do that. We've got the Franciscans to do that. I don't need to do that. We've got our school to do that. Parents that will come, drop their kids off of school. I never see them here in the parish on the weekends. They don't go to church. They expect the school to educate their child and the promises that they made in baptism to educate their child in the ways of faith. But we're just going to leave that to the institution of the parish school to do. You see how we give up the responsibility for what we were originally called to do, and we think that those structures are going to do it. Catholic Church is going to take care of that person, not me. My brothers and sisters, we have to look very, very, very candidly at who we are. We have to recognize the original inspiration, the gift of the Holy Spirit, of who we are to be as a people. And if we are not being faithful to Jesus in this way, then we are not being faithful as church. The presence of the Holy Spirit is here. All that we do, everything that we do, is the work of the Holy Spirit. All of the sacraments that we celebrate, the means for grace to come into our life, they were all instituted by Christ. Right? Multiple catechisms, some of you. Remember, sister, whack, hits the ruler, you're like, sacraments, instituted by Christ. It's the first thing, instituted by Christ. That title Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, means that the Holy Spirit was present in his institution of those sacraments so that through them we can have grace. Through them we have the means of salvation to enter into our life. We cannot rely on the institutions at times, my brothers and sisters, because at times they take a life of their own. How sad when we hear church entities doing things contrary to the gospel itself, because they want to survive in the world, because they become a life of their own. We need the Holy Spirit now more than ever, and an actual purification in the church. Understand the goodness that we are called to and the truth of the gospel message. Jesus calls the advocate that will come, the consoler. He calls him the Spirit of Truth. Do we need the Spirit of Truth in our lives these days? My gosh, just turn on the news. Good luck. Information, 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 information. Spin, 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 spin. What is true? Feel like Pontius Pilate saying to Jesus, what is truth? We've got so many news stations these days, we don't even know what truth is. What is truth? Things haven't changed 2,000 years, have they? But we have the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth that we need now more than ever to understand the times that we are in, to understand the information, the events of our time, in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit, lead me in truth. How must I respond to this situation? It is essential that the church understand her original inspiration is in the Holy Spirit, and we must operate in that truth now more than ever. So, you do not have church without the Holy Spirit. It's like saying you have a body that's alive without a soul, without a spirit. The church without the Holy Spirit is dead. The only way that we are church is that the Holy Spirit is present in our midst. So, 2 weeks from now, we will celebrate the anniversary. How many years? Almost 2,000 years, right? Coming up on a big jubilee, don't you think? Almost 2,000 years from the original, the one, the only, Pentecost to Sunday. We're going to be celebrating the anniversary of this great and awesome gift poured out upon the church. So how will we prepare if the Holy Spirit is so essential to us as consoler, as advocate, as Spirit of Truth? How will we prepare? Well, let's focus a little bit about that title, consoler. What do you say? Consolation. It seems that as technology advances, the world proposes that we are going to invent all of the things necessary for your happiness. All of your needs, we're going to invent something to meet you in that need. My brothers and sisters, be absolutely honest with me. As our technology advances and we get these new and greater technologies, is it actually meeting us in our need? Or have we created greater and greater ways to numb what it is that we need? Greater and greater ways to numb what we authentically desire, what we authentically need. You don't need that anymore. These are not the droids you're looking for. Here, spend hours in front of this, and you will feel none of the need for any of this. You will be numb. Isn't it weird? We imagine that in the technology, we're going to somehow, finally, we're going to discover this thing, and we're going to meet everyone in their needs and their desires and all of that. But all we have come to do is ignore those needs or numb them. The consoler comes because there is a need, because there is a loss, and nothing in the world could meet the apostles in the lack of consolation they feel at the leaving of Jesus. If it requires God to step into that void, then my brothers and sisters, we need that consoler too, today, as always. If the apostles were capable of consoling themselves with the things of their time, there would be no need for a consoler, would there? We need the consoler in our life in a radical way today as ever. But this is the thing. I ask the question, how are we going to prepare? Well, first of all, we have to stop numbing the feeling, the desire, the hope, the longing. We have to stop consoling ourselves because it's impossible. We have to stop numbing what we long for. Because the consoler is not going to fight us. He's not going to come in there and go, oh, well, let's see, I'll push through all this junk that we have in here that they're using to console themselves, and I will just declare that I am the true consoler, the true consolation. He comes where he is wanted. He comes where he is needed. He comes where there is an emptiness and a desire. In the next 2 weeks, my brothers and sisters, we have to stop consoling ourselves if we want the consoler to be manifest in our life. We have to admit that we have needs and desires that we cannot fill. And those needs and desires are authentic and real. And there is one who loves us that desires to meet us in that need. We reject the fact that I have a need, that I don't really need that, or we just numb it. So the challenge for the next 2 weeks, read the Acts of the Apostles. See how the fulfillment of what God manifests as church is a living body of Christ filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit. It is who we are. It's the original documents of our constitution, of who the church is. Read the Acts of the Apostles. See the work of the Holy Spirit in the church before it was even legal to be Christian, before they had a single building, before they had a single printery house, a single institution, a single hospital, a single school. We had none of it, but what we had was the Holy Spirit alive in the church and the church alive in the Holy Spirit. There may come a day very soon, my brothers and sisters, when the institutions that are around us, that have been around us for centuries, are gone. Do not cry about a building. Cry if the church does not know who she is and is not able to work in and through the Holy Spirit. That would be a really sad day. So, read the Acts of the Apostles. Recognize the need that you possess. Acknowledge it, recognize it, do not be ashamed of it. And in that hunger, in that thirst, know that there is one who desires to meet you there. Because he's the only one that can. He is the consoler. He is the consoler. The original, the one, the only. is the greatest gift of God that he has to give to his church. And through that gift, there are so many things that come. There's a fruitfulness of the church. We've seen it. We know it. We know the story of the church. A fruitfulness where the Holy Spirit is. There is great fruit in the church. Even in times of persecution, even in times of hardship, there is great fruit because the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church, leading and guiding the church alive in Jesus Christ. That is for us today. It is for us. It is who we are. What we are called to be. So please, my brothers and sisters, for the next 2 weeks, be hungry for him. Be unconsolable for him. Do not let anything else dare try to console your heart, because your heart longs for him and him alone. And prepare on that anniversary celebration to be renewed again in this great gift of love from the Father.